titles appear. Walt Disney presents Sleeping Beauty. Colorful jewel-encrusted book lies on a stand. The title reads Sleeping Beauty. A close view moves in on the cover. The book opens. Its pages bear words along with illustrations. One depicts a large castle.
In a faraway land, long ago, lived a king and his fair queen. Many years had they longed for a child, and finally their wish was granted. A daughter was born. They called her Aurora.
An illustration shows the king and queen holding a baby.
Yes, they named her after the dawn, for she filled their lives with sunshine.
The page turns.
Then a great holiday was proclaimed throughout the kingdom, so that all of high or low estate might pay homage to the infant princess.
The page turns again.
And our story begins on that most joyful day.
On that joyful day, on that joyful day.
We move into the book. Now in animation, a royal parade takes place.
Joyfully now to our princess we come, bringing gifts and all good wishes too. We pledge our loyalty anew. Hail to the princess Aurora.
Foot soldiers and knights on horseback march along with townspeople. The parade crosses a drawbridge into the castle. A crowd gathers. The king and queen sit on their thrones. A bassinet stands beside them.
Thus, on this great and joyous day, did all the kingdom celebrate the long-awaited royal birth. And good King Stefan and his queen made welcome their lifelong friend.
Men on a balcony blow horns. A man announces a rotund king and a blonde boy.
Fondly had these monarchs dreamed one day their kingdoms to unite. Thus today would they announce that Philip, Hubert's son and heir, to Stefan's child would be betrothed.
Hubert nudges Philip toward the bassinet.
And so to her his gift he brought, and looked unknowing on his future bride.
The blonde boy gazes into the bassinet, then grimaces. A ray of twinkling light shines down from the ceiling. Three sparkling fairies appear, floating through the light. One wears red, one wears green, and the third wears blue.
Excellencies, the three good fairies.
The fairies land on the floor.
Mistress Flora, Mistress Fauna, and Mistress Merryweather.
Holding wands, the human-sized fairies fly to the bassinet. They flutter small wings on their backs. They hover at its edge and admire Aurora.
Oh, the little darling.
The fairies stand before the king and queen.
Your Majesties,
each of us the child may bless with a single gift. No more, no less.
Flora hovers to the bassinet.
Little princess, my gift shall be the gift of beauty.
She waves her wand and sparkles fly. They form a colorful swirl. An image depicts Aurora as a lovely blonde. Sparkles appear over the princess. The sparkles drop into the baby's bassinet. Fauna approaches.
Tiny princess, my gift shall be the gift of song.
She creates sparkles from her wand. The sparkles turn into a colorful swirl. Birds fly through.
One gift, a gift of song.
An image of the grown-up blonde princess appears. She holds a bird on her finger. Sparkles settle over Aurora in the bassinet. Merryweather approaches.
Sweet princess, my gift shall be...
A gust opens the castle doors. Banners sway and fall from the rafters. The king, queen, and fairies look worried. A lightning bolt strikes the hall floor. Green flames appear. A tall, cloaked woman with black horns emerges from the fire. A raven lands on the orb of her staff.
What does she want here?
Shh. Well, quite a glittering assemblage, King Stefan. Royalty, nobility, the gentry, and...
She faces the fairies.
How quaint. Even the rabble.
Flora holds Merryweather back.
I really felt quite distressed at not receiving an invitation.
You weren't wanted.
Not what? Oh, dear, what an awkward situation. I had hoped it was merely due to some oversight. Well, in that event, I'd best be on my way.
And you're not offended, Your Excellency?
Why, no, Your Majesty. And to show I bear no ill will, I, too, shall bestow a gift on the child.
The fairies guard the bassinet.
Listen well, all of you. The princess shall indeed grow in grace and beauty, beloved by all who know her.
Maleficent swirls her orb.
But before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she shall prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die.
Oh, no.
The queen lifts her baby.
Seize that creature!
Stand back, you fools!
The guards look frightened. Green flames surround Maleficent. She vanishes within the fire. Her raven flies away. The queen cradles her baby. Flora approaches.
Don't despair, Your Majesties. Merryweather still has her gift to give.
Then she can undo this fearful curse?
Oh, no, sire.
Maleficent's powers are far too great.
But she can help.
They nudge Merryweather forward.
But just do your best, dear.
Yes, go on.
Merryweather waves her wand.
Sweet princess, if through this wicked witch's trick a spindle should your finger prick, a ray of hope there still may be in this, the gift I give to thee. not in death, but just in sleep, the fateful prophecy you'll keep. And from this slumber you shall wake, when true love's kiss the spell shall break.
A beam of light shines down.
For true love conquers all.
But King Stefan, still fearful of his daughter's life, did then and there decree that every spinning wheel in the kingdom should on that very day be burned. So 'twas done.
Torches fly into a giant pile of spinning wheels. Outside the castle, citizens watch the giant fire. In the grand hall, Flora gazes down at the blazing pile from a balcony. Fauna and Meriwether sit by the thrones.
Oh, silly fiddle-faddle.
Flora joins the others.
Now, come have a nice cup of tea, dear. I'm sure it'll work out somehow.
Well, a bonfire won't stop Maleficent.
Of course not. But what will?
Well, perhaps if we reason with her.
Reason? With Maleficent?
Well, she can't be all bad.
Oh, yes, she can.
I'd like to turn her into a fat old hop toad.
Now, dear, that isn't a very nice thing to say.
Besides, we can't. You know our magic doesn't work that way.
It can only do good, dear, to bring joy and happiness.
Well, that would make me happy.
But there must be some way.
Flora smiles.
There is.
There is?
What is it, Flora?
I'm going to...
She covers their mouths.
Even walls have ears.
Flora looks around the hall. She waves her wand at herself.
Follow me.
Flora shrinks and flies away. Fauna shrinks herself and follows Flora into a lockbox containing decorative cups. Meriwether scans the hall, then shrinks herself and enters the lockbox. The fairies shut the box and turn the key.
I'll turn her into a flower.
Maleficent?
Oh, no, dear. The princess.
Oh, she'd make a lovely flower.
Don't you see? A flower can't prick its finger.
It hasn't any.
No. That's right. She'll be perfectly safe.
Until Maleficent sends a frost.
Yes. Oh, dear.
She always ruins your nicest flowers.
You're right. And she'll be expecting us to do something like that.
Well, what won't she expect? She knows everything.
Oh, but she doesn't, dear. Maleficent doesn't know anything about love. Or kindness, or the joy of helping others.
Flora perks up.
You know, sometimes I don't think she's really very happy.
That's it. Of course. It's the only thing she can't understand and won't expect. Now, we'll have to plan it carefully. Let's see, the woodcutter's cottage. Yes, the abandoned one. Of course, the king and queen will object. But when we explain, it's the only way.
Explain what?
Meriwether comes out of a cup.
About the three peasant women raising a foundling child deep in the forest.
Oh, well, that's very nice of them.
Who are they?
Turn around.
They turn to their reflection. Flora changes them into modest clothes.
Why, it's us.
Uh-huh. You mean we, us?
Uh-huh. Take care of the baby.
Why not?
Oh, I like that.
Well, yes, but we'd have to feed it.
And wash it and dress it and rock it to sleep. Oh, I'd love it.
You really think we can?
If humans can do it, so can we.
And we'd have our magic to help us.
That's right.
No. No magic. I'll take those wands right now. Oh, better get rid of those wings, too.
You mean live like mortals? For 16 years?
Uh-huh.
But now we don't know how. We've never done anything without magic.
And that's why Maleficent will never suspect.
But who'll wash and cook?
Oh, we'll all pitch in.
I'll take care of the baby.
Let me have it, dear.
Flora takes Meriwether's wand.
Come along now. We must tell their majesties at once.
They leave the box. Flora enlarges herself and walks away.
Flora!
Flora!
Flora enlarges them. At night, the king and queen watch the fairies leave the kingdom.
So the king and his queen watched with heavy hearts as their most precious possession, their only child, disappeared into the night.
The fairies open a door at the kingdom wall. Flora looks around, and Fauna bundles the baby in a blanket. Flora waves them on, and the fairies enter the forest. Now we view pages in the book.
Many sad and lonely years passed by for King Stefan and his people. But as the time for the princess's 16th birthday drew near, the entire kingdom began to rejoice. For everyone knew that as long as Maleficent's domain, the Forbidden Mountains, thundered with her wrath and frustration, her evil prophecy had not yet been fulfilled.
An image of Maleficent's castle atop a jagged mountain comes to life. A dark green cloud swirls above. Inside, Maleficent faces a crowd of armored creatures.
It's incredible! 16 years, and not a trace on her. She couldn't have vanished into thin air. Are you sure you searched everywhere?
Yep, everywhere. We all did.
The creatures nod.
And what about the town? The forests, the mountains?
We searched mountains, forests, and houses, and in all the cradles.
Cradle?
Yep. Every cradle.
Cradle!
She faces her raven.
Did you hear that, my pet? All these years, they've been looking for a baby.
Oh! Fools! Idiots! Imbeciles!
The creatures run away as Maleficent zaps lightning at them with her staff. The raven cowers. The creatures leave the chamber. Maleficent bangs her staff on the floor, then sits in her throne.
Oh, they're hopeless. A disgrace to the forces of evil.
The raven joins her.
My pet, you are my last hope. Circle far and wide. Search for a maid of 16 with hair of sunshine gold and lips red as the rose. Go, and do not fail me.
The raven flies away. In the forest, a humble cottage stands among the trees.
And so for 16 long years, the whereabouts of the princess remained a mystery. While deep in the forest, in a woodcutter's cottage, the good fairies carried out their well-laid plan. Living like mortals, they had reared the child as their own and called her Briar Rose.
A blonde teenager with red lips opens a window and cleans it.
On this, her 16th birthday, the good fairies had planned a party and something extra special for a surprise.
Inside.
Well, now, how about this one?
This is the one I picked.
Oh, she'll look beautiful in that.
Now, I thought a few changes here.
Uh-huh. And don't forget a pretty bow.
Yes, and raise the shoulder line. We'll make it blue.
Oh, no, dear, pink.
But Aurora comes downstairs.
Yes, but how are we going to get her out of the house?
Oh, I'll think of something.
Look at this in the
hole. Well.
And what are you three dears up to?
Up to.
Aurora smirks. Meriwether hands her a basket.
We want you to pick some berries.
That's it, berries.
Berries?
Lots of berries.
But I picked berries yesterday.
Oh, we need more, dear.
Lots more.
Yes.
They push her outside.
Now don't hurry back, dear.
But don't go too far.
And don't speak to strangers.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
Aurora walks into the forest.
I wonder if she suspects.
Of course not. Come on. Oh, will she be surprised?
A real birthday party with a real birthday cake.
Yes, and a dress a princess can be proud of.
I'll get the wands.
Yes, you can. The wands?
Oh, no.
No magic.
But the 16 years are almost over.
We're taking no chances.
But I've never baked a fancy cake.
Oh, you won't have to, dear.
I'm going to bake the cake.
You? Oh, she's always wanted to, dear. And this is her last chance.
Well, I'm going to make it 15 layers with pink and blue, forget-me-not.
And I'm making the dress.
But you can't sew, and she's never cooked.
Oh, it's simple.
All you do is follow the book.
Up here, dear.
Meriwether gets on a stool.
You can be the dummy.
Well, I still say we ought to use magic.
Flora drapes fabric over her, then cuts it with scissors. Fauna gathers ingredients, then reads from a book.
Flour, 3 cups. Cups.
Fauna grabs 3 different sized cups, then uses them to measure.
1, 2.
Flora cuts a large hole.
What's that for?
Well, it's got to have a hole in the bottom.
That's for the feet to go through.
Flora covers Meriwether with the fabric.
It's pink. Oh, lovely shade, isn't it?
But I wanted it blue.
Now, dear, we decided pink was our color.
You decided.
Meriwether struggles. Flora wraps more fabric around her. A bowl of batter sits before Fauna. She grabs 2 eggs, then reads the book.
2 eggs. Fold in gently. Fold? Oh, well.
She puts the whole eggs into the bowl, then folds the batter over them.
I can't read.
Flora cuts more holes. Meriwether pokes her head and arms through. She notices the lumpy dress.
It looks awful.
That's because it's on you, dear. Now, yeast, 1 tisp. Tisp?
1 teaspoon.
Oh, 1 teaspoon, of course.
Fauna casually adds more ingredients to the bowl. Flora measures the length of the dress.
Oh, gracious, how that child has grown.
Oh, it seems only yesterday we brought her here. Just a tiny baby.
Meriwether wipes a tear.
Why, Meriwether? Whatever's the matter, dear?
After today, she'll be a princess, and we won't have any briar rose.
Oh, Flora!
Now. We all knew this day had to come.
But why did it have to come so soon?
After all, we've had her for 16 years.
16 wonderful years.
Flora looks tearful, then perks up.
Good gracious, we're acting like a lot of ninnies. Come on, she'll be back before we get started.
The fairies continue to work. Outside, Aurora strolls through the peaceful forest. A small bluebird perks up. Singing, the bird glides through the woods. The bluebird lands on a branch beside Aurora. A small redbird joins them. Aurora catches the blue bird, and it gives her a gentle peck on the cheek. The birds fly to a log and tweet into a hole. The redbird pulls 2 sleeping rabbits out by the ears. The rabbits wake and run out of the log. The birds fly up a tree and wake a squirrel. The squirrel looks excited. It climbs into the tree and pushes out an owl. Aurora catches the owl in her basket. The animals gather around. Aurora and the woodland creatures cross a gully on a fallen tree. In the distance, a young handsome man in a red cape rides a horse through the forest. The rider looks around, then stops his white horse.
You hear that, Samson? Beautiful.
Samson continues. The rider stops him.
What is it? Come on, let's find out.
The rider turns, but Samson turns back.
Aw, come on. Or an extra bucket of oats?
Samson perks up.
And a few carrots?
Samson nods.
Hup, boy!
The young man pulls the reins, and Samson gallops through the forest. Samson stops and looks around. They continue through the forest. Samson jumps over a log, then gallops along a path. The young man ducks below a branch as they pass a tree. Samson jumps over a log. The horse stops alone. Samson finds his rider sitting in shallow water. Approaching, the horse removes the rider's hat. The man splashes him with water.
No carrots.
Elsewhere, Aurora picks berries. The forest animals follow her. More small birds approach. The owl brings her berries.
Sweet things to a gay little lark.
The small birds fly around the owl. The owl cowers.
I wonder if my heart keeps singing.
Aurora goes to a ridge. The castle stands in the distance. On a branch. The forest animals perch beside her. She gazes at the castle.
Oh, dear. Why do they still treat me like a child?
She walks away, and the owl follows.
Ooh. I'm Flora, and Fauna, and Meriwether. They never want me to meet anyone.
She dips her toes into a pond. Aurora smiles at the animals.
But you know something? I have met someone.
Ooh.
Aurora walks away and the animals follow.
Ooh. Ooh.
She turns to them.
Oh, a prince? Well, he's tall and handsome and so romantic. Oh, we walk together and talk together. And just before we say goodbye, he takes me in his arms, and then...
The birds flap their wings in anticipation.
I wake up.
The animals look sad.
Yes, it's only in my dreams. But they say if you dream a thing more than once, it's sure to come true. And I've seen him so many times.
A squirrel spots the young man's wet cape and hat hanging from a branch. The animal rubs its eyes, then tosses an acorn. It hits the owl and two of the small birds. They join the squirrel on the branch. The animal points out the wet cape and hat. The owl gets excited. It forms a huddle with the squirrel and small birds. The squirrel gets the attention of the two rabbits. The forest animals make their way over to the man's wet clothing. The owl nods at the squirrel, who picks up the hat.
You know, Samson, there was something strange about that voice. Too beautiful to be real. Maybe it was some mysterious being, a wood sprite.
Samson alerts the man as the forest animals steal his clothes.
There! Stop!
The owl perches on a branch. The squirrel and small birds dress the owl in the cape and hat. Each rabbit stands in one of the man's tall boots. The squirrel pushes the rabbits, then directs the owl to come down. The owl lands on the rabbits, and the small birds lift the owl up. The rabbits hop forward while the birds hold up the cape and fly with the owl. They approach Aurora. She sits on the base of a tree and pets a chipmunk. The owl and the other animals approach.
Why, it's my dream prince.
Aurora gets up and bows to them.
Your Highness.
The animals bow back to her. Aurora twirls.
No, I'm really not supposed to speak to strangers. But we've met before.
They dance.
I know you. I walked with you once upon a dream.
As Aurora dances with the owl, the rabbits struggle to keep up in the boots.
The gleam in your eyes is so familiar a gleam.
Spotting Aurora, the young man smiles at Samson. The owl and the other animals hurry to keep up with the princess.
But if I know you, I know what you'll do. You'll love me at once, the way you did once upon a dream.
Aurora continues to dance with the owl while the rabbits hop below in the boots. The small birds carry two parts of the cape like arms. Aurora dances with her eyes closed. The young man yanks the animals away and joins her in dance.
The way you did once upon a dream.
Oh. Oh.
I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you.
Oh, it wasn't that. It's just that you're a
stranger?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you remember? We've met before.
We have?
Well, of course. You said so yourself. Once upon a dream.
Aurora steps around a tree. He follows.
I walked with you once upon a dream. I know you. The gleam in your eyes is so familiar a gleam.
He takes Aurora's hand and they waltz beside a pond. The animals watch. Aurora and the young handsome man go to the ridge overlooking the distant castle. The animals follow. Aurora puts her head on the man's shoulder.
Who are you? What's your name?
Hmm? Oh, my name. Why, it's... Oh, no, I can't, I...
The animals look shocked.
Goodbye!
But when will I see you again?
Oh, never, never!
Never?
Well, maybe someday...
When, tomorrow?
Oh, no! This evening!
Where?
At the cottage, in the glen.
Aurora grabs her basket and scarf, then runs off. In the cottage, Fauna lights up candles on a tall, melting cake.
There!
The sloppy cake nearly falls, but she holds it up with a broomstick. Meriwether stands in an ugly dress.
Well, what do you think of it?
Why, it's a very unusual cake, isn't it?
Candles slide down the broomstick.
Of course, it'll be much stiffer after it's baked.
Of course, dear. What do you think of the dress?
Well, it's not exactly the way it is in the book, is it?
Oh, I improved it. But perhaps if I added a few more ruffles, what do you think?
I think so. What do you think, Meriwether?
I think we've had enough of this nonsense. I think we ought to think of Rose and what she'll think of this mess. I still think what I thought before. I'm going to get those wands.
Meriwether leaves as the cake melts.
You know, I think she's right. Here they are, good as new.
Careful, Meriwether. Quick, lock the doors.
Fauna, you close the windows. Plug up every cranny.
We can't take any chances.
Now, you take care of the cake while I clean the room, dear. And I'll make the dress. Now hurry.
Meriwether looks angry.
Come on, bucket, mop, broom. Flora says clean up the room.
She makes the objects come to life. The broom sweeps and the mop and bucket follow it.
And now to make a
lovely dress fit to grace a fair princess.
Flora transforms pink cloth into a dress.
Eggs, flour, milk.
Just do it like it says here in the book. I'll put on the candles.
The ingredients come to life and read the book. A measuring cup scoops flour into a mixing bowl. Eggs and milk add themselves, and a spoon mixes them to create the batter. Meriwether uses the wand to lift a rug, stool, and a chair, while the broom sweeps across the floor. The fairy looks around, then makes the dirt pile disappear. The bowl and mixing spoon pour the batter into a multi-layered cake. The cake hovers over the table. Flora uses her wand to make a dress sleeve out of a piece of cloth. She attaches it to the dress. Dancing, Meriwether twirls around. The mop scrubs the floor. The mop dips into the bucket, then wrings itself out. Fauna raises her feet while the mop cleans the floor beneath her. Meriwether passes by Flora and the pink dress.
Oh, no, not pink. Make it blue.
The dress changes color.
Meriwether, make it pink.
Flora changes it back. Meriwether points her wand at the dress.
Make it blue.
Sparkling dust makes the dress blue. Meriwether spots the dress's reflection on a pot.
Blue.
Flora blocks the sparkling dust, which makes her own dress turn blue. She makes Meriwether's dress pink. Flora and Meriwether shoot sparkling wand dust back and forth, changing the colors of each other's dresses. The dust bounces around the cottage and flies up through the chimney. A wide view shows the chimney releasing the magic sparkles into the sky. Flying above the forest, Maleficent's raven notices the sparkling dust from afar. The bird flies toward the cottage. The raven perches atop the chimney. The bird gets hit with the sparkling dust. The fairies continue their wand fight. Sparkling dust from both wands hits the dress, making it a mishmash of both colors. Fauna lights candles on the cake.
Listen. It's Rose.
She's back. Enough of this foolishness.
Meriwether cleans the dishes and puts them away.
Make it pink.
Now hide, quick.
Meriwether starts to run, then turns to the dress.
Blue. And Flora.
The fairies hide by the staircase.
Good gracious. Who left the mop running?
Stop, mop.
The mop falls to the floor.
Aunt Flora? Fauna? Meriwether?
Aurora enters. Peeking inside, the raven eavesdrops.
Where is everybody?
She spots the dress and cake.
Oh!
Surprise!
Surprise!
Happy birthday!
Oh, you darlings. This is the happiest day of my life. Everything's so wonderful. Just wait till you meet him.
Him? Rose? You've met some stranger?
Oh, he's not a stranger. We've met before.
You have?
Where? Once upon a dream. I know you. I walked with you once upon a dream.
She dances with Fauna.
She's in love.
Oh, no.
This is terrible.
Why? After all, I am 16.
It isn't that, dear.
You're already betrothed.
Betrothed?
Since the day you were born.
To Prince Philip, dear. But that's impossible. How could I marry a prince? I'd have to be...
A princess.
And you are, dear.
Princess Aurora. Tonight we're taking you back to your father, King Stefan.
The raven grins, then flies off.
But I can't. He's coming here tonight. I promised to meet him.
I'm sorry, child. But you must never see that young man again.
Oh, no. No. I can't believe it. No. No.
Aurora runs into the bedroom.
And we thought she'd be so happy.
The fairies look sad. In her room, Aurora lies on her bed and sobs. As the sun sets, birds fly near the castle. King Stefan gazes outside and sighs. Hubert eats.
No sign of her yet, Hubert.
Of course not.
good half hour till sunset.
Hubert bites a turkey leg.
Excellent bird.
He tosses the leg aside and eats a wing.
Go on now, come man. Buck up. Battle's over. Girls as good as here.
I'm sorry, Hubert, but after 16 years of worrying, never knowing...
The past, all in the past.
Hubert turns and claps. A pointy-nosed minstrel runs over to them with a bottle and two glasses.
Tonight, we toast the future with something I've been saving for 16 years.
Hubert pours the drink into a pair of goblets.
Here, to the future.
Right, Hubert, to the future.
The minstrel discreetly sips from a glass and smiles.
Scumps! Scumps!
Scumps!
A toast to this night.
The outlook is rosy.
The future is bright.
Our children will marry.
Our kingdoms unite. Scumps! Scumps! Scumps!
The kings link their arms and drink. The minstrel sneaks another sip.
Excellent vintage.
The minstrel lifts his cup and smiles, then hiccups.
And now, to the new home, eh?
New home?
Children need a nest of their own, what? Place to raise their little brood, eh?
The minstrel sneaks another pour from the bottle.
In time?
Of course. To the home. Scumps.
Scumps.
A toast to the home.
One grander by far than a palace in Rome.
Let me fill up your glass. That last was all foam.
Scumps.
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 The minstrel dances and plays the mandolin. He breaks a string.
The plans.
The minstrel unfurls a scroll in front of Stefan, showing a blueprint of a castle. He hiccups.
Well, what do you think? Nothing elaborate, of course. 40 bedrooms, dining hall, honeymoon cottage, really.
You mean you're building it already?
Built, man. Finished. Lovebirds can move in tomorrow.
Tomorrow? But Hubert, they're not even married yet.
Take care of that tonight. For the wedding!
The minstrel collects wine in his mandolin.
I haven't even seen my daughter yet, and you're taking her away from me.
Getting my Philip, aren't you?
Yes, but...
Want to see our grandchildren, don't we?
Of course, but...
Well, there's no time to lose. Getting on in years.
The minstrel drinks and passes out.
For the wedding!
Now be reasonable, Hubert. After all, Aurora knows nothing about all this.
Well?
Well, it may come as quite a shock.
Shock? My Philip, a shock? What's wrong with my Philip?
Nothing, Hubert. I only meant...
Why doesn't your daughter like my son?
Now.
I'm not so sure my son likes your daughter.
Now, see here.
I'm not so sure my grandchildren want you for a grandfather.
Why, you unreasonable, pompous, blustering old windbag.
Unreasonable, pompous, unguard, sir.
I warn you, Hubert. This means war.
Stefan uses a tray as a shield while Hubert swings a fish at him. The fish goes limp. Hubert points and laughs. Also laughing, Stefan puts an arm around the rotund king.
Hey, what's this all about anyway?
Nothing, Hubert. Absolutely nothing.
Children bound to fall in love with each other.
Precisely. And as for grandchildren, I'll have the royal woodcarvers start work on the cradle tomorrow.
Splendid! King size, of course!
Certainly! To the Woodcarver's Guild!
They raise their goblets, then turn their attention to the minstrel. He lies asleep beneath the table with his face stuck in the mandolin. The other strings break. The young handsome man from the forest rides Samson up to the castle. Hubert comes outside.
Philip! 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 Oh, Philip!
As Hubert runs after Philip, the prince slows down his horse and turns around.
Hurry, boy! Hurry! Change into something suitable. Can't meet your future bride looking like that.
But I have met her, father.
Yeah, you have? Where?
Once upon a dream.
He lifts his father and dances with him.
Stop it! Stop that! Philip! Put me down! Now, what's all this dream nonsense?
Oh, it wasn't a dream, Father. I really did meet her.
The Princess Aurora? Good heavens, we must tell Stefan. Why, this is the most...
I didn't say it was Aurora.
You most certainly did. You said that...
I said I met the girl I was going to marry. I don't know who she was. A peasant girl, I suppose.
A peasant girl? You're going to marry a... Why, Philip, you're joking.
Hubert nods. Philip shakes his head. The king turns to Samson.
Isn't he?
The horse shakes his head.
Oh, you can't do this to me. Give up the throne, the kingdom, for some nobody? By Harry, I won't have it. You're a prince, and you're going to marry a princess.
Now, Father, you're living in the past. This is the 14th century. Nowadays...
Nowadays, I'm still the king, and I command you to come to your senses.
And marry the girl I love.
Exactly.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Father. Marry the girl you... No, Philip. Stop. Come back. Oh, Philip.
Philip gallops away from the kingdom on Samson. Hubert stands by the kingdom's gate. The rotund king turns around and walks back toward the castle. He stops by the castle steps and sadly shakes his head. Hubert sits down. He takes off his crown and wipes sweat off his forehead, then puts the crown back on.
Oh, how will I ever tell Stefan?
He rests his head on his fist. Fade to black. In the forest, the fairies cautiously escort Aurora. Looking somber, the princess wears a hooded cape over her. As they emerge out of the forest, Flora and Fauna look around before signaling Aurora to follow them. The castle stands in the distance. Later, they quietly make their way into the kingdom through a hidden door. The fairies lead the princess up a spiral staircase. In a hallway, Flora looks both ways, then turns to Aurora.
Come along now.
The princess and the fairies move down a castle hallway. Stopping briefly, Flora gestures for them to be quiet. She walks to a set of double doors, then waves them over. They enter a room.
All right. In here, dear.
Meriwether shuts the door behind them, then sighs.
Bolt the door, Meriwether. Fauna, pull the drapes. And now, dear, if you'll just sit here. This one last gift, dear child, for thee. The symbol of thy royalty.
They make a crown.
A crown to wear in grace and beauty, as is thy right and royal duty.
Wearing the crown, Aurora looks at herself in the mirror and sobs.
Now, dear.
Come.
The fairies step out into the hallway.
Let her have a few moments alone.
It's that boy she met. Whatever are we going to do?
A moving view closes in on the burning fireplace. Suddenly, the fire goes out and the room darkens. The smoke transforms into a green orb, and Maleficent appears behind it. The evil fairy disappears, and the orb illuminates the fireplace. Aurora's skin takes on a bluish-green tone, and she looks entranced. The spellbound princess rises to her feet and stares at the floating green orb. She approaches it. The fairies wait in the hallway. Flora looks out a window.
I don't see why she has to marry any old prince.
Now, that's not for us to decide, dear.
In the darkened room, Aurora follows the floating green orb to the fireplace. The orb turns the fireplace wall into a tunnel. Flora crosses the hall and stands outside the door.
Maybe we should tell King Stefan about the boy.
Well, why don't we?
Listen. Maleficent!
Rose!
Rose! Rose!
Why did they leave her alone?
Rose!
The fairies watch as Aurora passes through a doorway. The fireplace wall reappears. Aurora slowly follows the green orb up a staircase. The orb floats out of view, causing the tunnel to go dark. A bright light illuminates a portion of the wall as Aurora heads upstairs. The fairies push against the fireplace wall. Flora uses magic to open it.
Rose!
Where are you?
Aurora slowly ascends a staircase. Far behind, the fairies follow.
Rose!
With her face frozen in the entranced expression, the princess follows the glowing green orb to a door at the top of the staircase. Further down, the fairies peek out a window and continue upward. Aurora enters a room at the top of the tower. Using their wands to light the area, the fairies search several doorways. In the dark room, the green orb transforms into a magical spinning wheel. Aurora reaches her finger toward the spindle.
Rose, don't touch anything!
The princess hesitates.
Touch the spindle. Touch it, I say.
Her finger touches it. The fairies enter to find Maleficent.
You poor, simple fools.
Thinking you could defeat me. Me, the mistress of all evil. Well, here's your precious princess.
She reveals Aurora face down on the floor. Maleficent disappears in a flash of green flames.
Rose!
Oh, I'll never forgive myself.
We're all to blame.
The fairies gather around the princess. A view through the window shows the sun setting. In the grand hall, King Hubert approaches Stefan, who sits on his throne.
Stefan, there's something important I have to tell you.
Not now, Hubert.
But it's about Philip.
Philip? Oh, yes, of course. Philip, why, where is the boy?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, send for him immediately.
But shh!
Citizens gather outside.
The sun has set. Make ready to welcome your princess.
Fireworks explode in the sky. Subjects all over town wave banners. In the castle tower, Aurora sleeps in a bed with a red rose in her hand. The three somber fairies stand over her. A tear slides down Flora's cheek. Fauna and Merryweather also cry as they gaze at the motionless princess. Fauna wipes away her tears with a handkerchief. Flora covers her face and goes onto the balcony. The other fairies join her. They all gaze at the festivities below. A firework goes off. Fauna shakes her head.
Poor King Stefan and the Queen. They'll be heartbroken when they find out.
They're not going to.
They aren't.
But we'll put them all to sleep until Rose awakens.
The fairies take one last look at Aurora in bed. Flora shuts the curtains.
Come.
The fairies shrink themselves and fly around the castle. They shower the guards with sparkling dust, putting them to sleep. The guards lean on their axes as they slumber peacefully. Merryweather drops sparkles on a guard. He blinks heavily and slumps on a parapet. The fairies continue around the outside of the castle, putting all the subjects to sleep. People yawn and lower their banners. In the grand hall, the royal guests hang their heads as the fairies fly above. A magical green haze fills the room.
And you awaken,
Fauna flies over a town square, putting everyone to sleep. She circles a fountain, and the water stops flowing. She extinguishes torches around a pond.
One day you'll awaken to love's first kiss.
In the grand hall, Meriwether spots the minstrel waking beneath the table. The blue fairy showers him with magic, and he falls asleep again. At the throne, Flora enchants Stefan and Hubert.
Well, just been talking to Philip. Seems he's fallen in love with some peasant girl.
Peasant girl?
Flora returns to Hubert.
Yes, yes. The peasant girl, who is she? Where did he meet her?
Just some peasant girl.
Where?
Once upon a dream.
Once upon a dream. Rose. Prince Philip. Oh.
Flora flies upward and meets the other fairies by a chandelier.
Come on. We've got to get back to the cottage.
Meriwether puts out the last candles. She follows her fellow fairies outside. They fly over the sleeping citizens and away from the castle. Their magic glow disappears into the night. Prince Philip rides Samson through the forest. Philip approaches the darkened cottage. The prince dismounts. He stops at the door and straightens his hat. He looks back at Samson, who nods encouragingly. Philip knocks.
Come in.
He enters and looks around. The door shuts, and Maleficent's minions jump on Philip. They tie him with ropes. The evil fairy watches and grins. Philip struggles against his attackers as they tie him up. The raven watches with excitement. The creatures put a gag on the prince's mouth and bind his arms. Maleficent holds a candle to his face.
Well, this is a pleasant surprise. I set my trap for a peasant, and lo, I catch a prince. Away with him. But gently, my pets. Gently.
She follows them outside.
I have plans for our royal guest.
Still tiny, Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether fly through the forest. They weave between the towering trees. They soar over the calm pond. The tiny glowing fairies arrive at the cottage. Inside, they return themselves to normal size. They find the remains of the fight. Flora picks up Philip's hat.
Maleficent! She's got Prince Philip!
At the Forbidden Mountain.
But we can't go there.
We can, and we must.
Fade to black. Now, thick, dark fog swirls in the air. The fog clears to reveal Maleficent's ominous castle atop the Forbidden Mountain. A drawbridge extends to a smaller peak beside it. Large carved hands hold the drawbridge chains. The good fairies sneak up to the drawbridge and hide behind fallen stones. They peek out, then sneak to another hiding spot closer to the bridge. The fairies sneak onto the bridge and hide behind one of the carved hands. Led by Flora, they start to sneak across the bridge. Flora looks back and shushes the others. Looking ahead, she stops. One of Maleficent's minions marches forward. The fairies take cover behind the carved hand. The guard stops and looks around. He turns and patrols back the way he came. The fairies look up at the drawbridge chain, then shrink themselves. They follow the chain, then sneak into the castle through a hole in the stone wall. They enter right next to a minion guard. The fairies quickly fly away, almost running into a sleeping guard. They fly away and run into a series of frightening gargoyles. The fairies hide in a crevice and sigh in relief. They spot light from a window. Flora flies over and beckons the others. They all land on the windowsill and peek inside. In Maleficent's throne room, many creatures dance around a bonfire. The firelight casts grotesque shadows on the stone walls. The fairies watch with fearful expressions. Our view rises from the dancing creatures. Beyond the green flames, Maleficent sits on her throne. Her staff stands at her side. The evil fairy gently strokes her raven.
What a pity Prince Philip can't be here to enjoy the celebration. Come, we must go to the dungeon and cheer him up.
Maleficent and her raven head off. At the window, the good fairies watch Maleficent walk past a guard and leave through a doorway. Still tiny, the fairies fly to a ledge behind the guard's head. They move past the creature as he turns. The fairies hide. They look down a hallway at Maleficent's retreating shadow. The good fairies follow. Maleficent descends a staircase with her raven flying close by. The good fairies watch from above. Maleficent uses a key to unlock a dungeon cell door. She goes inside. She shuts the door behind her. The raven perches on an axe handle. Philip sits chained to the wall.
Oh, come now, Prince Philip. Why so melancholy? A wondrous future lies before you. You, the destined hero of a charming fairy tale come true.
The good fairies watch from a window. Maleficent creates a vision with her orb.
Behold, King Stefan's castle. And in yonder topmost tower, dreaming of her true love, the Princess Aurora. But see the gracious whim of fate. Why, 'tis the selfsame peasant maid who won the heart of our noble prince but yesterday.
The vision shows Aurora sleeping in the castle tower.
She is indeed most wondrous fair. Gold of sunshine in her hair. Lips that shame the red, red rose. In ageless sleep, she finds repose. The years roll by, but 100 years to a steadfast heart are but a day. And now, the gates of the dungeon part, and our prince is free to go his way.
The vision shows the elderly prince.
Off he rides on his noble steed, a valiant figure, straight and tall, to wake his love with love's first kiss, and prove that true love conquers all.
Philip struggles against his chains. Flora pulls Meriwether back and the fairies hide. The raven looks in their direction.
Come, my pet. Let us leave our noble prince with these happy thoughts.
Philip tries to break free.
A most gratifying day.
Maleficent leaves the cell and locks it behind her.
For the first time in 16 years, I shall sleep well.
She walks away. The raven looks back suspiciously. The good fairies peek through a crack in the wall. Maleficent ascends a staircase to a tower. The good fairies fly into Philip's cell and turn themselves back to normal size.
Shh, no time to explain.
They use their wands to break his cuffs. Meriwether uses her wand on the door lock. Rubbing his wrists, Philip starts to leave.
Wait, Prince Philip. The road to true love may be barred by still many more dangers, which you alone will have to face. So arm thyself with this enchanted shield of virtue.
She makes a shield.
And this mighty sword of truth.
She gives him a sword.
For these weapons of righteousness will triumph over evil. Now come, we must hurry.
They leave the cell. The raven flies out and finds them. It flies up the staircase. Prince Philip beckons the fairies in the other direction. They run up a different staircase, but find the raven leading the minions toward them. Philip hurries to a window, and the fairies follow, turning themselves tiny. The prince uses his sword and shield to battle the creatures. Philip jumps out the window. Outside, Samson stands chained to a block. Philip slides down a pile of rubble. The raven spots them. Maleficent's minions prepare to push a row of boulders on top of them. The creatures push the boulders down.
Philip, watch out!
Flora turns the boulders into bubbles. The minions fire arrows at him. Philip raises his shield. Flora turns the projectiles into flowers. They land on the shield harmlessly. Meriwether zaps Samson's chain and frees him. Philip mounts the horse and rides to the castle exit. Minions pour boiling oil over the opening. Flora creates a rainbow to block the oil, and Philip rides through safely. The raven flies toward Maleficent's tower. Following, Meriwether aims her wand at the bird. The raven dodges her magic. Frustrated, Meriwether chases the raven and continues firing spells at him. They circle Maleficent's tower. The raven perches outside her door, and Meriwether turns him to stone. The fairy flies away. Maleficent comes out.
Silence! You, tell those fools to... No. No!
She spots Philip escaping. The drawbridge raises.
Watch out,
please! The fairies help the horse jump to the other side. Maleficent ascends to the top of a tower. The fairies glance back. Maleficent summons lightning to strike a stone arch as Philip rides under it. His shield blocks falling rocks. She summons another strike to the rock path. Samson leaps over the gap and gallops toward the castle.
A forest of thorns shall be his tomb. Thorn through the skies on a fog of doom. Now go with a curse and serve me well. Round Stefan's castle, cast my spell.
Maleficent sends a storm cloud over the castle. Lightning strikes the ground, and leafless, thorny bushes grow rapidly. The brambles spread over the land. Philip looks ahead at the blocked path. Samson stops and rears. Maleficent cackles. Philip chops the thorny bushes with his sword. Samson slowly moves forward. Philip's cape gets caught on a bramble, and Meriwether uses magic to free him. The horse leaps down, and Philip continues hacking at the thicket. They move closer to the castle. The fairies spot the tower and beckon Philip. He looks ahead at the cleared stone bridge and starts across it.
No, it cannot be!
Maleficent travels in a swirling ball of light. She lands in green flames on the bridge in front of Philip.
Now shall you deal with me, O prince, and all the powers of hell!
Maleficent rises into the sky and transforms into a large dragon. Philip and the fairies wear fearful expressions. The menacing dragon narrows her emerald eyes. Philip and Samson charge toward the beast. Flora pulls back Meriwether. The dragon breathes green fire. Philip blocks it with his shield and falls off the horse. The dragon fires again, destroying the stone bridge. She moves forward, breathing fire and snapping at the prince. Philip strikes the dragon's head. She snaps at him with her jaws. The dragon breathes fire onto the brambles. The magical flames spread. Escaping them, Philip hurries to a sheer cliff. Flora beckons him.
Up, up this way!
He climbs to the peak. The dragon follows, and they fight. Philip swings his sword and backs to a ledge. The fairies watch in fear. The prince blocks another spout of fire, then loses his shield. The fairies enchant his sword.
Thou sword of truth, fly swift and sure, that evil die and good endure.
Philip throws the sword into the dragon's chest. Lunging, the beast snaps one last time and falls off the crumbling cliff. She lands among the flames, then turns into a plume of purple smoke. Philip looks down. The tattered remains of Maleficent's cloak lie on the ground. Sticking out of it, the sword turns black. Samson walks up to Philip on the ledge. The fairies join them, and they all look at the castle. The thorny plants disappear. In the kingdom, everyone remains asleep. Philip enters and looks up at the castle tower as sunlight spreads over it. Philip enters the castle. He follows the fairies up the tower stairs. In the top room, the prince finds Aurora sleeping in bed. He kneels beside her. Philip lowers his head and gently kisses Aurora's red lips. The green haze disappears. Aurora opens her blue eyes and smiles. The fairies hug each other and cry joyfully. Outside, the green haze lifts. The fountain water flows and the townspeople wake. In the grand hall, Stefan and the queen wake on their thrones.
Forgive me, Gilbert, the wine. Now, you were saying?
Huh? I was? Oh, yes. Well, after all, Stefan, this is the 14th century.
Yes, you said that a moment ago.
Well, to come right to the point, my son Philip says he's going to marry...
The horn players play on the balcony. On a different balcony, Meriwether looks down and beckons the other fairies. Arm in arm, Philip and Aurora descend the staircase to the grand hall. Stefan and the queen stand from their thrones.
It's Aurora! She's here!
Hubert rubs his eyes and stares in disbelief.
And Philip!
Facing the king and queen, the prince bows, and the princess curtsies. Aurora rushes forward and hugs her parents. The queen cries. Above, the fairies tenderly watch. Hubert goes to Philip.
Oh, what does this mean, boy? I don't know.
Aurora kisses Hubert on the cheek, then takes Philip's hand. Aurora and Philip start dancing.
I don't understand.
Hubert looks to Stefan and the queen, who smile blissfully. Hubert looks up at the three fairies. He shrugs, then happily watches the prince and princess dance. Aurora and Philip twirl around. On the balcony, Fauna dabs her cheek with a handkerchief.
Why, Fauna, what's the matter, dear?
I just love happy endings.
Yes, I do too. Blue.
Flora spots Aurora's dress. The fairy changes its color with her wand.
Pink.
Meriwether notices and changes it back. The dress continues changing between pink and blue as Philip and Aurora dance. The castle transitions to a cloudy sky. The prince and princess dance among the pink and blue clouds. They kiss, and the image becomes the page of the storybook. The last line reads, "And they lived happily ever after." The book closes. The End, a Walt Disney production. Audio description by WGBH with funding by Disney. Voiced by Christopher Flowers. A glowing pinpoint of light arcs over a magnificent castle. Walt Disney Pictures.